It's time. It's here. We can talk. We can talk to the food guy, the food maverick, the food mensch. It's Arthur. I like the food mensch. Today it's the food mensch. Hi, Arthur.
Hi. It's the food mensch because I don't, in my lifetime, which is, I'll say, long, I don't remember any time when Christmas and Hanukkah came out pretty much exactly the same time. This year, Christmas is, as always, on the 25th. But Hanukkah, the first candle, is how we say it, starts on the 26th. So they,
I thought it was sundown the 25th.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm not sure then, because you're a bit much better at calendars than I am.
I think that I looked this up because I was...
And so the first candle is on Christmas Day itself?
I believe so.
Wow. So, I don't know, you're the stargazer. Do you remember any time when that happened?
Well, yeah, it's fairly... Okay, first candle of Hanukkah in 2024 on Wednesday, December 25th at sundown.
Okay, so I'm corrected.
And it ends...
So, all the more reason to be prepared to make latkes, which is what I wanted to talk about today. I wasn't going to talk just about latkes, but then I realized I have a lot to say about latkes.
You have a lot to say. And this is really where we should summon Marshall. Marshall! Because he always had a lot to say. And whenever you did potato pancakes or anything veering on the subject, he just promptly finished his work and went home and made them. So.
Well, I mean, I'm sort of the same way. I bought the potatoes already.
There you go.
In preparation.
Test them.
And and I had a lot of onions. But you need here's what you need. It's one of those things that has very few ingredients and seems simple on the surface, but maybe, you know, the end result is variable. Let's put it that way.
That's so kind.
I make them the way my grandmother made them, and funny enough, as a full grown person, I made a friend who was a marketing guy, not a cook, not a food guy at all, except that he did work for food companies. Anyway, he entered the James Beard latke cooking contest, which was years ago a big deal. I think the Beard Foundation has forgotten its New York roots, let's put it that way. It has nothing to do with being Jewish. I mean, Beard was not Jewish. In any case, Steve, my friend, won this contest with his latke recipe, which is, I would say, except for one thing, identical to my family recipe. Now, a lot of families make shredded potatoes or coarsely grated potatoes, but my family, we use fairly fine grated potatoes in the proportion of 1 pound of potato, and I use starchy baking potatoes for this.
So and, what used to be called Idahos?
Well, yes, if they're grown in Idaho, they're Idahos. By the way, a little sidebar here, potatoes in the world grow best at high altitudes.
Right.
Hence, Idaho potatoes. I mean, that's why. But it's also a particular kind of potato, a russet potato. So you can buy russet potatoes that aren't Idaho, and they're fine, too.
And this is where I have always, I don't know, Arthur, but probably 30, 40 years, suddenly Yukon Gold became the potato to make mashed potatoes out of. And the reason I'm saying this is because I was always, this doesn't taste like mashed potatoes, no thank you. And people continue to do it thinking that it was, very sophisticated and whatnot. Do not use a Yukon Gold potato to make potato pancakes.
No, it's better with a starchy potato, like a russet potato. Anyway, 1 pound of potato. I have two potatoes here, two big, nice ones that weigh a pound, and then 1 8-ounce onion. Now, 8 ounce is a little bit bigger than what we standard medium onion, which is 3 to the pound. So it's a half a pound onion. And the way let me get back to my friend Steve's potato pancakes. He won the Beard House contest with this recipe, that I'm going to give you. The only difference between his family, and actually it's his family recipe is identical to mine. We all came from what's now called Belarus, the immigrants from there, and my grandfather used to call it White Russia, which is, I think, what Belarus means, actually, White Russia. Steve, as his own innovation, he left the peel on the potatoes, scrubbed them well, but then he grated them with the skin and everything. Now, by the way, there's enormous amount of good stuff, nutrition stuff, in the peel of a potato and the flesh that's very closest to it. So nutrition-wise, this is a good idea. And according to my friend, it prevents the potatoes from turning dark as quickly as they would if they did not have their peel, which, by the way, is pretty quickly. My grandmother, making our version of this without the potato peel, used to put in this big silver-plated spoon that she inherited from her mother. I have it now. Mm-hmm. So this was my great-grandmother's... by the way, when I dismantled my grandmother and my mother's houses, I discovered more of this the silver from Europe. By the way, it is Polish. I don't know where it came from. It was really my great-grandmother's. But the point is, a silver spoon, especially one that's a little tarnished, prevents the potatoes from turning color. It's the tarnish itself that does it, the tartrates. And if you lack a silver spoon to do this with, especially a tarnished one, then you could, a pinch of cream of tartar does the job. But another trick is, which I learned from my grandmother, and my friend Steve affirms, to grate the onion first and then add the potato to it, because the acidity of the onion also helps from turning the potatoes gray or
pink.
Pink, they might turn pink anyway, but they won't go black or gray, which is really gross. And once they cook, they're not pink anymore. So my proportions are a pound of russet potato to 8 ounces of onion plus 2 eggs and anywhere from, now I differ from most people in that I don't use flour. I like to use matzah meal. It gives a crisper surface to the potato pancakes. And what I'm looking for are crisp edges, crisp lacy edges, and a nice creamy center. And these potato pancakes used to go so fast in my grandmother's house, because Hanukkah was her big entertainment day. She had like an open house on Hanukkah. And the potato pancakes were the main feature, of course. And so we stood and fried pancakes for hours. When I say we, I was enlisted at a young age to grate potatoes, which is the worst job.
Horrible. And I was enlisted equally in that, so I know all about the silver spoon and the this and the that. They wouldn't let me near the frying pan. That's what I was gunning for.
I grew up to finally be old enough to go by the frying pan.
Right.
At a young age, we considered knuckle blood a seasoning.
Exactly. Quick question. How many did you...
And my grandmother, by the way, my grandmother, who was a glamorous woman, as well as a great cook, she didn't want to ruin her manicure by creating potatoes.
Oh, this is why you have grandchildren or children.
Right. But let me say, my grandmother was young and a modern woman. And so as soon as the Cuisinart food processor was introduced to America, she bought one. And we learned how to do this in the food processor.
Which is a lot of fun.
Previously, we tried doing it in the blender, but my grandmother was never happy with the blender results. So food processor did it. You pulse on and off. You cut the potatoes into cubes, big cubes even, and you put them in the processor and pulsating until they get chopped up somewhat, and then you can let it run for a couple of seconds.
Quick question, and you may be getting this, but did your family wring them out or no?
No.
Okay.
We wring them out for for potato pudding, but not for potato pancakes.
Okay.
And by the way, the recipe for potato pudding is kugel, potato kugel, one of my favorite things. I have a great recipe for it, I have to say, in Jewish Home Cooking, my book, Arthur Schwartz's Jewish Home Cooking.
Which is in my
studio. It may be my favorite recipe in there, the potato kugel. So, but no, you don't have to wring them out because you're going to add starch to this, and it's okay. And Idaho potatoes are a relatively dry potato. I mean, if you did it with an all-purpose potato, you might want to get rid of some of the water because then you would have to add a larger amount of starch. So for 1 pound of potato and a half a pound of onion, I want to use at least a quarter of a cup of matzo meal, maybe as much as a third of a cup. You'll have to judge. And the only way you know, by the way, is frying off, and by the way, salt and pepper, of course, and a good amount of salt. I would say for a pound of potatoes, you need at least 2 teaspoons of salt. And then maybe, I like peppery, but you need a quarter of a teaspoon of pepper, a half a teaspoon of pepper, depends on your taste. Anyway, and this gets fried off in about an eighth of an inch, quarter of an inch of cooking oil. Now, this is disgusting, but what we used to use was a product called Naya fat. Naya fat was a parav, meaning it didn't contain any meat products or dairy products. It was essentially Crisco with chicken fat flavoring. So it was fake chicken fat. Certainly worse for you, your your health than actual chicken fat. But nobody was going to use up the amount of chicken fat. I mean, and I'm sure originally potato pancakes, which are Eastern European, they must have used poultry fat of one kind or another at this time of the year for sure, because not only was this a hard, potatoes, we're not going to talk about season here, but as far as the fat goes, this was the time of the year you were slaughtering poultry. Geese, ducks. I mean, these poor people in these little farming communities called shtetls in Belarus and Russia and Poland, they were poor. And they used what they had, which was poultry fat. And I have to say, my grandmother, who was a real granny, Rose, she used to cook a goose at least once a year, just for the fat. We never got to eat the goose, because goose doesn't go that far. But my grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather, ate the goose, but we had the goose fat to do other things with. She didn't make potato pancakes with it, but she did saute a lot of things in goose fat. Anyway, back to the fat. These days, I use canola oil. You don't want to use olive oil for potato pancakes. Wrong taste. I would never do that. But there are in around the Mediterranean, Jews have other things that they fry. I mean, the whole point of latkes is not the potatoes, but the frying. So I mean,
what
Hanukkah
else do you fry
is about frying Hanukkah food, because it commemorates the rededication of the temple, which had been desecrated by the Syrian Greeks. And when the Jews, the Maccabees, regained the temple, they had to put oil in the eternal lamp, that's, by the way, in Catholic churches too, the lamp that's supposed to burn all the time.
And what kind of oil did they use? Was it olive oil?
Well, they probably used olive oil in ancient times.
Environmentally speaking, probably.
This is the time. So, sidebar. This is the time when olives are being pressed for oil in Italy. And I just bought a big supply of fresh, new olive oil from Tuscany. Got to say, expensive oil, but worth every dollar. And if anybody wants this oil, go to the website of my friends. They're Americans, but they've been living in Italy, I think, 25 years now. And they have an organic olive grove on their property, and it's called Poggio, P-O-G-G-I-O, which means hillock, a small hill. in English. So Poggio Etrusco, Etrusco. When you get to Poggio Etrusco, you'll see it's a bed and breakfast. There are cooking classes. There's a lot going on there. But right now, Pamela Sheldon Johns, my friend and her husband, he's my friend too, Johnny Johns, are pressing this year's oil. This is really precious Tuscan olive oil, not to be used for cooking, to be used on salad, on vegetables. We had it on beans the first day it came. A lot of uses for it, but I wouldn't cook with it. It's too precious. And
So question, what other than canola oil?
Any vegetable oil, truly. Any vegetable oil. You know, Crisco.
Yeah, I think that's what my grandmother used to use.
Well, Naya fat was Crisco, as I said, with chicken fat flavor.
Naya fat. But it was either Crisco or...
It could well have been Naya fat. That was a very, very popular product. It's not made anymore because it's so unhealthy for you. You know, full of trans fatty acids.
Wait till we find out that those were really good for you.
Anyway. I don't know. It's they're easy enough to avoid, but the fact is that Crisco doesn't have them anymore. But Crisco was sort of invented to be Jewish lard. It's a fat that can take the place of lard because it's 100% fat. There are no milk solids, obviously. Crisco was reinvented, and it does not. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago when I was talking about cookies, because I have these old cookie recipes that. They don't only call for Crisco, but they require Crisco to have their essential texture. And that's what, for instance, Crisco in pie crust, you know, gives great texture because it's a substitute for lard.
Before there was Crisco, was it just lard?
A friend of mine, this is a book I have, but she just offered me an old cookbook that she inherited from 1940, I think it was. And it's the Crisco cookbook, and I have the Crisco cookbook. The Crisco cookbook was written for the Jewish market, and it contains a lot of all-American recipes that you would normally, if you were American, use lard for. And including, I'm sure, I haven't looked at the cookbook lately, I'm sure there's pastry crust and cookies and things that lard really makes a difference in. Anyway, back to latkes. So I was in my grandmother's house, we lived in a two-family home, and the apartments weren't identical, but certainly the kitchen, dining room, living room area was identical. And so I was in the kitchen with my grandmother and my mother producing platter after platter of latkes, and we only got to eat them at the end. And the way we ate them, was with a stew that my grandmother made from the old country, although she was born in Brooklyn. So this was her mother's recipe, and she called it muchana. I never met anybody in my life until very recently that ever heard of muchana. And I would say, you know, I called my grandmother Mama, where did this come from? And she said, if you didn't live on the right side of the street and the left side of town, you wouldn't know about it. So that was her joke. But years later, a Belarusian restaurant opened in Sheepshead Bay, and I ran because on the menu was muchana. Now, this was not a Jewish restaurant at all. The muchana was made with pork, and it was in a cream sauce. And it was served with potato pancakes. They were disgusting potato pancakes, greasy and flabby and not good, but it was the combination that struck me. My grandmother always made this beef stew to go with the pancakes, or maybe it was the pancakes to go with the beef stew, more likely, because the pancakes were definitely more of an attraction than the stew. In fact, years later, after my grandmother had passed away and I was trying to do this for my whole family, I made the muchana and nobody ate it. It ends up none of my cousins really liked it. But it really was just a very plain beef stew made with a lot of bay leaf and garlic. My grandmother told me that originally the recipe called for pickling spices. However, my grandfather got such bad heartburn from the pickling spices that she started leaving them out. She did put in a hot pepper, though, into the oven. And this cooked for hours and hours in the oven and resulted in a deep brown gravy. And everybody got a big chunk of meat and in a bowl with the gravy. And the platters of potato pancakes were to help yourself. And it really was a feast, got to say. When my grandfather passed away, this is a funny thing. When my grandfather died at a very young age, in his late 50s, my grandmother added shrimp cocktail to the menu. My grandfather would not have tolerated shrimp in his house. But my grandmother loved shrimp and, by the way, lobster tails. And years later, I discovered that one of her main dinners was lobster tails cooked in the toaster oven. Anyway, which works, by the way. So back to latkes. If it's not a meat meal, and our Hanukkah feast was a meat meal, obviously, was beef stew or this machana, and potato pancakes and other things, like my grandmother would make very good, and I do too, I have to say, chopped herring salad. She probably had chopped liver because she made great chopped liver, these kind of things. Because it was an open house. People came and went all day. But if it wasn't that meal, we liked our an applesauce, by the way, because you could have that with meat. But you couldn't have sour cream. And I have to say, I sort of tend to like my potato pancakes with sour cream on top. And Bob just discovered that he doesn't hate caviar. So I may have a little caviar, too. Not fancy caviar. I would say salmon roe, which is very inexpensive and buy in the supermarket, does a great job on top of some sour cream and potato pancakes. I'm getting myself hungry.
Let's talk for one quick second about frying them. We've talked.
Oh yeah. So the first I fry them. Thank you for reminding me. An essential part. I mean, it's about frying. I use a big utility spoon. You know, I don't know if you know what you call it. A big cooking spoon to make sizable pancakes, and the first couple don't usually come out as you want them. So just be warned. You may want to adjust your mixture by adding more matzo meal is usually the problem. So you'll see. And by the way, as the mixture of potatoes, onion, egg, and matzo meal stand, the matzo meal will continue to absorb liquid and it'll get thicker. So you want a relatively thick batter, and you spoon it into this, I don't know, quarter of an inch at the very most of oil. Remember that once you start putting batter into the oil is going to get deeper. So nearly an eighth, it depends on your pan, but I would say it doesn't take too much oil if you use a 10-inch skillet. And it's going to take 4 or 5 minutes per side to get the pancakes nice and brown. If when you put in the batter, it sizzles crazy, then your oil is way too hot. And if it doesn't sizzle, or only a tiny bit, then your oil is probably not hot enough. And the way I judge the heat of my oil is, I learned this from an Italian friend, I put the end of the handle of a wooden spoon in the oil, and if it starts bubbling instantly, then it's ready. Then the oil is ready to receive. So you spoon in the batter. You can fit 3 or 4 at a time in a 10-inch skillet. And flip them over after about 4 minutes. You'll see how well they're browning. And you may want to adjust the heat, high or low. You'll see. And then when they come out of the oil, all nice and brown and lacy on the edge, not too lacy. If it's too lacy, that meant the oil was too hot. Drain them on either a rack. A rack is good. You don't need to use absorbent paper, but a lot of people do. We used to, in the old days, use torn open brown paper bags, but I don't trust what's in brown paper bags anymore. I'm not sure I want my food to come into contact with a brown paper bag. So you drain them and serve them almost immediately. Don't I you know, people make them ahead, they reheat them in the oven, or they keep them hot in the oven. Mm. There is nothing like a potato pancake fresh out of the oil. And if you want them to be at their optimum, you serve them immediately, and they disappear immediately.
It's like a magic trick.
The cooks only got to eat them at the end. Yeah. And actually, I remember one Hanukkah when my family wiped out all the pancakes and didn't even leave me any. I was really pissed.
Yep.
Am I allowed to say pissed?
I think each one of us has one of those damaging moments, too.
Anyway. So it's good memories, good pancakes, and I need Hanukkah to give me the excuse to eat them. You know, it's one of those things that you shouldn't be eating too often.
And just to wrap up, the last time Christmas and Hanukkah fell on the same day was 2005.
Really?
Yep.
I don't remember that. Somehow I don't remember that.
Well,
anyway.
It happened.
So next week will be just before Christmas. I must say, even though I'm Jewish and proud of it, I have Christmas stories to tell because my father's sister, my Aunt Pauline, was a Christian wannabe. And she married a Catholic guy who was a Jewish wannabe. It was a very funny marriage. He liked being Jewish and having his kids be Jewish. She liked that she had an excuse to put up a Christmas tree and to make Christmas foods.
We're going to find out some really interesting things about Christmas trees coming up. But
so everybody have a nice week, and stay safe and healthy.
And you have a nice week as well. I will ask how many pancakes, you know, you got to practice these things.
How many I can eat?
Latkes?
Well, as I said, I bought the potatoes already.
You might as well check it out. Make sure that everything's there.
If I get the energy, I might actually make them today.
Just it out, like I said. All right, we thank you, and love to you, love to Bob. And this has been Arthur Schwartz. Happy Hanukkah, the Food Mensch on Robin Hood Radio.